I'm Mike Bloomberg, and I approve this message. This is a list of all the people who contributed not only to Radio Labyrinth and became producers of the show. These are also people who willingly or unwillingly support me in my quest to take down the current president of the United States. So without further ado, please allow me to thank Radio Labyrinth producers Brett Perkins, Jason Chappell, Mike Hall, Al McKeon, Sean Hall, Chad Shepard, Tim Slayton, Andrew Hopkins, Jonathan Wilson, Todd Ellis, Melissa Knowles, Brian Smith, John Sutherland, Mike D, Matt Carter, Eric Malmstrom, Daniel Pitts, and Keith Tate. Thank you so much for supporting not only Radio Labyrinth, but Mike Bloomberg for president. Mike Bloomberg 2020. I'm Mike Bloomberg, and I have approved this message.
Hey there, radios. This is Dean from the Mike TV podcast, inviting you to join Lisa and I as we recap season 5 of AMC's Better Call Saul. Listen along as we break down each week's new episode of the Breaking Bad prequel series. New episodes of Better Call Saul every Monday night at 10 p.m. on AMC. And don't forget to keep it thorough.
I'm Cy Sperling, president of Hair Club for Men, with some new important free information for men with thinning hair.
Well, we're moving on.
Boutique section on the way to a break, and suddenly this pregnant woman ran out of the store, and I got suspicious.
What's so suspicious about a pregnant woman?
Honey, the chick was 83 years old.
Did you have a date last night, Wilona?
I sure did, Grandpa. He's a bus driver for the CTA. And believe me, he wanted to see some tea and a, but I told him this was my stop. And then he hit me.
To get personal appearance and our own hair replacement booklet, just call our toll-free number now. And remember, I'm not only the Hair Club president, but I'm also a client.
You selling hair?
Well, you know what? I admire a man like you because, yes, let's cut to the chase. I am the celebrity spokesman for a line of artificial hair, and I also occasionally sell hair myself on the weekend because I have a gambling problem that is all-consuming.
You want a beer?
No, thank you.
How about some lo mein noodles? Come on in.
Lo mein, no.
I was about to toss these. They reek.
Hi, I'm Sandy Duncan, and like most everybody, I am a snack lover. In fact, right now, I love some Wheat Thins.
It's not in my interest for Hector Salamanca to die at this time.
Who is he to you?
An associate of an associate.
How very specific.
Who is he to you?
We had a disagreement. He threatened my family. I'm not going to let that go.
But you had let it go. You'd taken his money. Your family was no longer in danger.
He'll never change ever since he was 9. Always the same. Couldn't keep his hands out of the cash drawer. But not our Jimmy. Couldn't be precious Jimmy. Stealing them blind. And he gets to be a lawyer? What a sick joke. I should have stopped them when I had the chance.
Hi, I'm Saul Goodman. Did you know that you have rights? The Constitution says you do, and so do I. I believe that until proven guilty, every man, woman, and child in this country is innocent. And that's why I fight for you, Albuquerque.
Better Call Saul.
This episode of Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by the campaign to elect Mike Bloomberg for president, 2020. Mike Bloomberg, I wish he would give us some of his money. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is Season 5, Episode 8. Jeff and I are your main hosts in the studio today, recording the podcast. Say hello, Jeff.
Hello, Jeff.
Yeah. We're going to fight today, I have a feeling. Fight. Not about the
fist fight.
Not the thing we were talking about.
Tim threw a bowl at my head before the show started.
That actually happened once we were kids. I was playing, trying to play Star Wars figures with his brother, and he was bugging us, so I threw a bowl at him and went home. But I was babysitting his brother. It was weird.
Fortunately, no bowls around.
There's no bowls today. Around. No bowls. There's balls, but that voice you heard over there, yet to be introduced, is Lisa Krause.
And Mike TV.
Joining her is her co-host of Mike TV, Dean Poole.
Hey, Tim. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I figured I'd wait till you introduced me.
You listen enough to the radio show that I'm
that's on. Professional enough.
Yes. Lisa and Dean have been doing a sideshow in our... Not really a sideshow, I don't mean it diminutively, but you've been doing a show in our feed called Mike TV. You are coming up to episode, what, 32?
We just sent you 32.
Right, and that'll be, well, it's already out if you're listening to this. Episode 32 is the first episode of their most recent season where they will be tackling a bunch of shows, but most importantly, Better Call Saul, which returns to television on what date?
February 23rd.
When you listen to this, probably a couple days ago.
What's when is it premiered?
Two-night premiere, Monday. Sunday and Sunday.
Oh, so, okay. Monday, so it's already premiered if you're listening to this show. It premiered last night if you're listening to Tuesday. So this is season 5. There's going to be one more season, and then it's kaput.
Right. And season 6 will be 13 episodes.
Sweet. That's pretty damn cool. So you guys are the resident experts on Better Call Saul, and we're going to talk about that in some detail. I believe there's another show that you'll be covering.
Westworld,
yes. Can that show improve?
Westworld, bitch.
Yeah, it's the Westworld Breaking Bad crossover.
Yeah, so you think that show will improve at all?
Yes. Have you seen the recent trailer?
No.
Well, Mike TV tweeted it. Just a couple days ago.
Why don't you call it Mike TV? Mike TV. I'm going to work on it. I know it doesn't sound like him right now. Maybe I'll play some clips and we'll do it.
Yeah.
Is it close enough for your taste, Lisa?
Of course.
Dean.
I enjoy it.
Jeff's hypercritical.
Yes, Mr. Herman Trout.
The producers have said that Westworld Season 3 is going to be much more straightforward than Season 2.
Season 2 sucked.
It was too damn confusing.
It was confusing and dumb.
Here's a challenge for you. Watch it all as a binge instead of week to week. It's too much to follow for
Here's
people
a challenge.
Who watch TV while also being on their phones.
I want one of those dolls. One of those live action human recreations. I want half of its brain gone, and I just want to keep. I want it to be able to know how to clean itself.
You got to move,
and you know what I'm talking.
You got to move to Japan for one of those.
You know what I'm talking about. Give me the what's her name? What's the
Dolores?
Chicken? Yeah, Dave. Give me the Dolores.
Give
doll.
Her some Lysol.
Huh? Now don't we don't cross reference things we talk about on the Von Hessler Doctrine podcast.
You'll take the Ed Harris doll and shut the fuck up.
I would take the Ed Harris doll.
Got a Jimmy Simpson.
Jimmy Simpson. Oh yeah, for sure.
No, he's too many moles. Apparently, before he became Ed Harris, he went down to the Bowery and had some quarters.
He's looking really rough in the trailers for this.
Who,
for
Jimmy Simpson?
No, Ed Harris.
Oh, well, he's
spoiler,
an old,
he's going
to
be in
he's
it.
An old man.
Yeah.
We're all getting older, Lisa. That'll happen to you someday.
It's already happening.
Dean's the only one here who doesn't look like he's 50.
Yeah.
Well,
hey.
I mean 40. So this week, over the week, Jeff and I went to see a play. Now, if you listened to last week's show, you enjoyed our interview with Mr. Adrian Zemed. Mm. And Adrian Zemed, of course, from Grease 2.
Who's that guy?
TJ Hooker, Bachelor Party, Dance Fever. Those are the four, I guess, pinpointing the timeline of pop culture for Gen X kids and their parents. Those are his benchmark items.
Now, I know usually when you have younger guests in, they don't know any of these references.
Yeah.
Which a couple weeks ago you had someone who didn't know what Barney Miller was, right? Never heard of it.
We did?
Yeah, the kid from the brewery. He was like 22 years old.
Oh, yeah, he didn't know Barney Miller.
But I can happily say when I saw Adrian Zemed, I knew Bachelor Party, I think I watched on probably when I was like 8 years old.
But
I don't know how I watched it when I was 8.
Did you know Barney Miller?
I know what Barney Miller is, yes.
Oh,
I've never watched it.
Do you know what Barney Miller's first name is?
Barney.
So deep inside joke going back to 7th grade.
You should watch it if you ever
Barnabas.
Come across it on MeTV because the jokes still hold up. And the way they perform Barney Miller, it's like... Mm-hmm. A play.
It is.
I do want to watch this. Just you always talk about the episode where they get the brownies. That always
right.
sounds.
Yeah, that's on YouTube.
That's the best one of the whole series, probably.
The
speaking of that, Ken Tiger, the guy that Steph and I had the argument about the werewolf from Barney Miller, he's in Hunters on.
Oh yes,
on Amazon Prime. Yeah, briefly.
So, That joke, though, what's Barney Miller's first name? Jeff and I go way back. So we're talking about 1981 or 82. It's probably 1982. There was a trivia show on the campus radio station called TV Trivia, hosted by a guy named Bob Bogart.
We still should have Bob on the podcast.
You should call him. I mean, you should find out and get Bob Bogart on this show. He's the reason that I'm doing this, probably the reason Jeff is. So Jeff and I become freshmen in college, and the first radio show we do is a resurrection of that one called TV Trivia. And I believe your name on the radio was Trip West.
Yeah, something like that.
People make fun of me for being Tim.
Were you also say, were you Tim Michael?
No, I was probably Tim Andrews then.
Let's play it.
Oh, we don't have audio from that. We don't have audio.
No, there, let's play the game. Let's play the trivia.
No, it was a two-hour show.
It was like
show.
A call-in.
You had to pay attention the whole show, and then the people with the most points won prizes.
It's like bar trivia before they had bar trivia.
Nice. Right. So Jeff and I did it. You know, we were kids. We'd play every week, and we would also prank the host. So I called, and we'd ask stupid questions. It was Stump the DJ, wasn't it? The last one you had to stump
him. You had
him.
To tell him your question before you went on the air.
Yeah.
So we would say some other question, and then when we got on the air, we'd say some really stupid question like...
Don't do it in the voice. Don't do it in the voice.
What's Barney Miller's first name?
I said, what's Barney Miller's first name? In a weird voice, and then he laughed. And he said, don't you know who Burt Lance is? There was another one. He goes, don't you know? I said it was Jimmy Carter's brother. And he goes, you're Jimmy Carter, and you don't know who Burt Lance is? Okay, so we're getting really off the rails. One, they did MASH trivia every week, I think, too, on that show. And Jeff kept winning. But because his dad worked at the university, he wasn't allowed to collect the prizes. So it ended up going to me. And we had like 17 pitchers of... Pudgy's.
Hell yeah.
Pudgy's pizza pitcher. So anyway. We went to this Middletown play, and Caitlin and I went, and we met Jeff there. By the way, I love Marietta Square.
Mm-hmm.
What a cool place. It's so weird to be in Atlanta or in Tucker or these cities around Atlanta that don't have a square like that.
Had you not been there before?
No, I've been there 100 times, but it's just, I just really like it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a small town square that you'd see in a movie or Back to the Future. It's
I grew up in that area.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's cool up there.
We met some radios there too.
Yeah, yeah.
David Harrison. His girlfriend, beautiful.
Yep. They were really, really nice. They were able to go.
I'm OTP, so I live out in Loganville, Monroe area.
Where's Loganville?
Yeah, exactly.
Loganville.
I actually live right next to that car dealership. Actually, right across from Burt Reynolds' old, the Terra house out there.
Oh,
but,
really?
Monroe and a lot of places out there still have that square feeling. And Monroe actually just finally passed a law. I think Marietta does it too, like open container around the area too. So
you're allowed to walk around with a container?
Walk around and drink. So
you can't have a cigarette in your hand. Kids, you can have kids seeing you get drunk and shit-faced, but just don't smoke or vape. So we got up there. The Strand, it's called, is the theater up there. Very beautiful, small theater, very comfortable theater, like a Broadway theater.
It's like 90 years old.
Gorgeous place. And we go in to see the play that Adrian Zemed was talking about. Now, at the beginning of the play, before they get started, they all came out into the audience, and I got to high-five Sandy Duncan.
Yeah.
So that was the highlight.
How old is she?
Did her eye fall out?
No, her eye did not fall out.
she the mom from the Hogans?
Yes.
Yeah.
She still had the short hair?
Yes. Yeah. It was a little longer than that, but she played... She played Peter Pan on Broadway and on TV.
And her character's name was Hogan.
Hogan, yeah.
Peg Hogan.
She peddled Wheat Thins for a while. She did.
There's my favorite one, you know, that would cause stirrings in pre and post adolescent Tim Andrews was she's walking through a wheat field. So it's just a giant wheat field, and she's wearing a chambray shirt, but it's, you know, tied off at the middle so you see your nice flat stomach. She's walking around with a wheat stalk in her hand talking about how she doesn't feel guilty about eating Wheat Thins because they're not fried, they're baked. And so that was kind of cool. My wife didn't know about those commercials, so I was sending her all the old commercials. This was afterwards.
But now she knows why you always eat Wheat Thins after.
I hate Wheat Thins. That was a problem. I like Triscuits. Triscuits were better than Wheat Thins to me.
Triscuits are better than Wheat Thins.
Also starring Donnie Most. I'd met Donnie Most in 2005. It was the fall of 2005. He and Anson Williams were in town for Dragon Con. And that week was a fun week on the regular guy show, 96 Rock, because we had both of them in there. And then the next day, Rip Taylor, which was a surprise guest they didn't know about. But he forgot his confetti, dumbass. Anyway, so I'd met both those guys. And so we saw Donnie Most. And then... rounding it off was Didi Khan from Grease, Frenchie from Grease and Grease 2, also from You Light Up My Life, and she's been on a bunch of shows. She's continually acted throughout the years. Her first gig was a Charmin commercial, which you heard in the intro.
And she played Ralph Mouth's girlfriend on Happy Days.
That's right. So it was a big, big to-do. Great play, and really what it was is these two couples who meet each other, the wives meet, and...
they meet at their kids' first day of school.
Right, and then... they introduce their husbands to each other, and they're all different people, but they gel and they form a friendship that goes for 30 years, from the 70s all the way to the 2000s. Mm-hmm. And the thing I liked about it, they sat and looked at the audience and they would get up and take turns reading from the script, but emoting. And I ended up bawling a couple times because it felt real intimate to me when you are in that kind of theatrical setting and you're following along with their lives. It put me in the mind of my parents and my grandparents and going through that whole thing. It was very similar. Not the situations they were in.
A lot of that had to do with the actors that they cast.
Yeah.
Because if it was just some no names doing that and they didn't have all the thousands of roles that we've seen these people in over the years, would you care about the people as much? I don't know.
That's my question. I don't know, but they did a good job of you not thinking, oh, that's Ralph Malph talking about
being. Right, but I know, but the fact that they were who they were, I think gave a lot of gravitas to the characters.
I agree.
And made the story so emotional.
What is the play called? I'm sorry.
Middletown.
The Ride of Your Life.
I really do want to go see it.
Well, yeah.
Today and tomorrow are the last 2 days.
Oh,
well,
no.
No, it's gone if you're listening to the show. It's gone.
Oh, yeah. Well, today, Saturday.
Yeah, I really enjoyed hearing Adrian talk last week about how minimalist it was.
Yeah.
But you could tell his passion for acting, which you wouldn't think from these, you know, seemingly, quote, has been 80 stars that they're the best actors, but to see them in their element, you heard how much he really cared about acting, not just being a Hollywood star.
Right. And you know, I've learned a lot over the last couple of years about, and speaking to these people that they're working actors and they like the stage, they like the theater, but they continue to work, and if they get a TV role or a movie role, great. If they don't, they don't care. Like Curtis Armstrong, he's super famous, but he still loves doing theater, and he'll go on theater tours and stuff. So at the end of the play, Jeff had worked it out, so we got to go backstage briefly before they came out and did Q&A.
Nice.
So Caitlin, who had brought the Frenchie's Grease scrapbook, which was cool.
Wow.
We went down, and Jeff had his Grease 2 DVD. I just got Adrian to sign my playbill. So we go down, and Adrian goes, is Jeff here? Is this Jeff? And we introduce everybody. And everyone's just kind of standing there looking at us. I mean, because they're in that.
Dede Cohn and Sandy Duncan both came with them, and they all signed stuff.
But
Donnie Most was hiding.
Donnie Most wouldn't come out of his room, but I think his wife staggered out, or his girlfriend or something. You see that lady?
Yeah.
She looked a little grouchy. But it was really cool. Adrian Zemed was nice to us. Dede Cohn was super sweet to Caitlin. She was like, oh, that's my book. And she signed it. And Sandy Duncan was nice, too. Did you get her to sign anything?
I got her to sign the playbill.
Yeah, I didn't get any other autograph but Adrian Zemed. I felt nervous because it was like, I felt like we were intruding on their...
Yeah, we were only back there for 5 minutes.
It was funny. Jeff goes, yeah, here. And he handed the DVD to Dede Cohn. She goes, is that it? Is that all you want? You know how sweet she is. And he goes, yep.
That's her real voice, too, right?
Yeah,
that's how she speaks.
So if you get a chance, and if you don't live in Atlanta and you're listening to the show and you see it coming to your town, I would go see it.
It's going to Chicago next.
Yeah, go see it. Chicago.
Maybe my buddy Joe Peterson will go. He lives in Chicago.
And then I guess the night before that, I don't know what night it was. Maybe it was Wednesday night. Yeah, it was the night before that. I took my brother to see AEW wrestling.
I looked for you on TV. I didn't see you. I saw Booch, though, one time.
Yeah, well, Vinny Bucci, who we've had on this show, the guy who ate the car and a former regular guy.
Was intern, he there?
Stand-up comedian. Of course he was.
He's obsessed with wrestling.
He's a wrestling nut. It was great. We ran into Vinny inside, my brother and I, but, Tony Schiavone, who has been involved with wrestling for years and WSB doing Georgia football, he hooked me up with a pair of tickets. So I took Jason, my brother, who knows all about this. I don't know anything about this league other than Chris Jericho is the champ, and I love Chris Jericho.
It's still real to me.
Well, let me tell you. So I meet my brother in front of Phillips. I get my tickets at Will Call. We're standing there. I'm having a smoke before we go in, and I see that guy walk by, and I think, that guy looks familiar to me. And Jason goes, oh, there he is, and he knows his name and everything. And he goes to everything. That's the it's still real to me, damn it, guy. And so I wanted to get a picture taken with him, but I didn't want to bug him because I didn't know that he, you know, had become a star from that.
Right.
I mean, I knew he was on Tosh.0, and he was actually wearing a Tosh.0 shirt, but I didn't know that he embraced it all, right? So a couple days or yesterday, I wake up from my nap and I go out to look at Twitter and he's following me and said, I wish I could have met you. I love you. I love your radio show. I've loved you on the radio for years. And I'm like, holy shit, this guy. And I tweeted him. I said, I was with my brother. We saw you. We were behind you in line, which we were. And I said, but I didn't want to bother you. So now I'm going to try to get him on Radio Labyrinth.
Schiavone owns that?
He does not own it. He is a part of it. The guy who owns, you know, Sadiq Khan, who owns the Jaguars, his son owns this league. And it's cool. It's a lot different from seeing WWE live. There's less talking.
Oh, okay.
And I haven't been to wrestling live in probably 15 years.
More homoeroticism?
I went in ninth grade when Bill Goldberg won the title with Carl Malone's help from
WCW?
Hogan. Yeah, 98.
Wow. Oh, super. What is that like?
I think it was just a Nitro, whatever. It was Monday Night Nitro. But yeah.
They have some pretty interesting cats wrestling. This AEW is woke without telling you they're woke,
right?
Which I like. You know, the women's champion is trans, but you don't know, and you can't tell unless you're told. I didn't know. Not that it matters, but I like that. You know, hey, this is just who we are. We're not going to ram it down your throat. Oh, I thought that was cool.
Why were they doing that?
I don't know. I'm asking. I think Jason got tired of me asking him questions. Who's that guy? There's a guy dressed as a dinosaur. And,
yeah, why not?
And and Luke Perry's son is one of the wrestlers.
Aww. You're gonna make Lisa cry.
R.I.P. Luke Perry.
I texted Caitlin a picture. I said, "So this is Luke Perry's son," and that was her reply.
Is he as hot as Luke Perry?
Well, he's hotter because he has long hair. He is hot. It was a lot of fun. And Jeff, keep the celebrity guests coming.
Yeah, I'm working it.
You're friends with a lot of people, like you're friends with the guy from the Breakfast Club, which we've established.
Which one? Oh, the janitor. That's right. Well, thanks for squeezing us in between celebrities.
Yeah, you guys are huge stars.
Oh yeah,
you are. You're the
Mike TV host,
the second most popular podcast in our feed.
Right.
Roby's freaking out right now.
I know. Roby. Shout out to Roby.
Worlds are colliding. Hang on, I'm trying to.
Just to recap. We got here a little late because somebody got lost. Dean and I hung out in the parking lot until she got here.
We didn't hang out in the parking lot. I tried to hang out with Jeff. He told me to stay in my car. He's like, we'll just hang here. And I said, so should I walk over to your car? Or no, just stay in your car, man.
Leave me the fuck alone. I'm over here masturbating. What were you going to bring up, Jeff?
I'm just recapping everything. We got here. We went down the stairs. We came into the studio. We talked about Middletown.
Go ahead.
Tim met the Tosh.0 still real to me guy.
I saw English Nick's cubicle in the hallway.
Yeah. He did. That's awesome. I'm Mike Bloomberg, and if you listen to podcasts other than this one, you're going to enjoy this podcast. If you're looking for up-to-the-minute news without all the propaganda and spin, and why would you want that? Just watch MSNBC. Check out the Propaganda Report's Drive Time News Blast. It's a daily podcast hosted by Monica Perez and Brad Binkley, who bring you 30 minutes of the news of the day from a perspective of truth, liberty, and justice. I do not recommend this as your future president. I do not like truth. Every weekday on the Propaganda Report podcast, you can find it on all your favorite podcasting platforms. They call them podcatchers. It is a fun half hour. That's all it is. It's a real tight podcast with topics of the day and without the crazy Alex Jonesy stuff. But it's funny. Binkley's a good guy. He's an actor. He's friends with our buddy Josh Warren, who we've had on the show. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Josh Warren, if you're looking for funny, locally grown, organic comedy, sketch comedy, go to Action Show Studios. Just type it into Google. They have a YouTube page. You can see professional actors. You can see young improv people just getting started out doing sketch comedy. And they have a real good production team down there. And it's really cool. So I would check that out.
We're still working on trying to get Steph to get in there?
I guess so. I don't know.
We just thought it would be a good idea for Steph to take one of those improv classes that Action Show Studios does.
I'm going to be doing a character on
that. Not for any reason. She's hilarious by herself.
I know.
Yeah, get her back in the swing of things.
On the series they're doing. They're doing a series, and I'll tell you more about it next week, but I'm going to be a part of it. And I'll be playing a British guard.
Did you roll your character yet?
Huh?
You got to roll your character, see all your hit points and your...
No, I'm not that. They go back in time, and I'm a British guard, me and this other guy. Oh, the Bob from the Relapse Theater, he and I are going to play British guards.
Nice.
And so I had to get wardrobe and all that. I'll be spending a lot of hours, I think, at the Georgia Renaissance Festival, either the 1st or the 8th, so I'll recap you on that.
And we can find this on YouTube?
Yeah, Action Show Studios. Just go in and type it into YouTube, Action Show Studios. It's funny stuff. I mean, you're going to find something, you're going to be like, well, that's not funny, but then the next thing you watch, you're going to go, that's hilarious, because it's people just getting started out, and Josh and his people do a good job of crafting people.
I hope your character gets the plague.
I hope he lives, because I would like to be on TV if that ever
happened. I didn't say you'd die. I just said you get the plague.
My nose would fall off. Maybe my nose would fall off.
Rolling Stone Magazine's 20 years of rock and roll will continue in a moment. Wednesday.
I'm not as cute as I used to be.
Larry's in for a future shock.
Hi, Larry.
It's a special perfect stranger.
Try to show a little dignity.
A true test of dadhood. You've been entrusted with precious rolls of Kodak film. The family is counting on old dad to get great developing. So you look for the Kodak Color Watch seal. Color Watch means great developing.
Radio Labyrinth is sponsored by Atlanta Pizza in Euro, 1565 Georgia 138 in beautiful Conyers, Georgia. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is a longtime local favorite, serving the best pizzas, euros, Italian beef sandwiches, hot subs, spaghetti, lasagna, and Greek salads in a relaxed, casual setting since 1983.
Find them on Facebook at facebook.com/ATL Pizza. Interact with other diners, check out the menu, and even start your order. Or AtlantaPizzaEuro.com. Let's talk about Better Call Saul, Season 5.
Yeah, bitch.
He's finally
returning to AMC, right? AMC?
After 2 years?
Yeah, it's been a long
over
ass
two
time.
Years hiatus.
So you guys have already put out a show. It's a 2 hour almost in-depth recap of one scene. Keeping it thorough.
It's a recap of the preview.
Yeah. It's just, oh my God. So tell us a little bit, first of all, about Mike TV and what you've been doing and about this upcoming season.
Oh gosh.
Well, Lisa, it's on, this is your baby.
So Mike TV started because I used to harass Tim all the time that you guys didn't talk enough about some of my favorite shows.
Such as? Better Call Saul.
Well, such as The Leftovers. I think it started back when I was bugging you because you weren't talking enough about The Leftovers on your weekly show. Then Game of Thrones. You were mixing names up and forgetting names and plot points. And so that was bothering me.
By the way, since then, I have listened to all of the books.
Oh, yeah. So that's good.
Yes, and I'm waiting for him to release the next two so we can erase the...
Keep wait.
Yeah. The bastardized ending.
I know.
Go ahead.
Then your refusal to watch Better Call Saul
so
in
harsh.
The beginning. There were so many things. And so I think Mike TV developed out of you making fun of me on Radio Labyrinth and calling me Mike TV, or else that was a moniker that Jeff gave me, perhaps. And so I embraced it. And then you said, if you want to talk about TV so much, start your own podcast. So that's what I did.
And right. How'd you find this guy?
And then I joined because I harassed you about not talking about Legion.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you made fun of me on the podcast. And so there's a connection here.
Let's keep making fun of people on
the podcast. Yeah, right.
Roby, you son of a
Roby,
bitch.
Keep karaokeing, man.
Hey, he's doing his music.
Yeah, you keep growing your empire by just trashing people, and we join on.
Yeah.
Well, you grow the empire.
Yeah. Legion was another one that you noped out of ridiculously, and the third season was sublime.
Yeah, really good.
So good. And so,
so
we love
talking back
about
against
it.
You, Tim.
Yeah.
That's okay. I don't have to like everything you like, and you don't have to like everything I like.
No worries there.
Yeah, yeah. So... thanks for coming.
All right, see you later.
Bye.
So we covered Legion, and then we
and
covered...
That was your first show.
I worked with Autumn on the final season of Game of Thrones.
Okay, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And,
Autumn Fisher.
And I loved it, but I think Autumn...
One topic.
Right, but I think Autumn wanted to make fun of it, where I wanted to be very serious about it.
Yeah, I don't think you two gel as a co-host, because... You know, her default is to make fun of things.
Right.
And yours are to be like, this show is so great.
Mm-hmm. And I still stand by that show being great.
Mm-hmm. Well, production-wise, sure.
Go back and listen to our top shows of 2019 episode.
That last episode where she is, what's her face, takes her clothes off and screws the real king.
Her brother?
No. She's Brand brother.
Broken?
She screws her real king, the real king, Robert Baratheon's son.
What?
The helmsman, the guy who makes the helmets and stuff.
Who are you talking
Arya,
about?
When Arya does it?
When Arya bangs.
Arya, I'm thinking, I thought you were talking about Daenerys.
No, okay. I don't care about her.
Yeah, Arya, yes. When Arya and, yes.
And Robert Baratheon's son. What's his name? Do you remember?
Gendry
Baratheon. Who should have been king, not Bran. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, whatever.
No,
who
the Baratheons were not the rightful heirs to the throne. Listen, don't go down this Game of Thrones. Okay. So I wish
they'd all have died.
So it was a trend because we covered the final season of Game of Thrones, then the final season of Legion, then the final season of Preacher.
Okay.
And then the one and only season of Watchmen.
Yeah, what is that called? Penultimate?
Penultimate.
Yeah, now we're on Penultimate. Better Call Saul.
This is the penultimate season.
And it'll possibly be the final season of Westworld. I could see that maybe.
Yeah, I think that should have been a show that maybe only had two.
Yeah. No, I think this season looks great. Yeah. So all right. Westworld is also, we're going to be covering Better Call Saul and Westworld in conjunction, doubling up.
So it's going to be 4 hours.
It's going to be 4 hours long.
34 hours each week.
We're going to tighten it up a little bit.
Try to keep it 90 minutes, 45 for each show.
Mm-hmm, that's our plan.
That's a good goal.
All right.
Yeah. Don't make me go in there with the editing.
Telling Lisa we don't need every line from the show.
Well, you guys don't. You guys do well talking about the show. You know what you're talking about. You describe the scenes. You describe the shows very well. So good job on that.
Just to recap so far, we talked about Middletown.
Yeah.
Tim went to the wrestling.
Yes.
We saw Tim did a live podcast plug.
For Monica
Perez's podcast.
Yeah. And Binkley. And then we talked about Action Show Studios. And then we talked about Dean and Lisa, about the origins of Mike TV and the four shows that they've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to happen on Better Call Saul this season? Is he going to be Saul the whole season?
He's for sure Saul.
So he's finally fully Saul.
He turned into Saul at the end of last season.
Yes,
right?
That was all good, man. Yes, that was it for sure.
It's all good, man.
And so what we were looking at timelines, because what we deduced was that the end of season four was in 2004. I can't tell, but if another year went by when he got his first hearing turned down, and then he went back and before the bar in the final episode.
I don't think so. I think it was just appeal. But it's 2004, 2005.
Right. And then Breaking Bad is 2008. And then Walt actually meets Gus more like 2009.
So we're still
5 years from...
They haven't done a time jump to bring it closer to the time
frame? They did a time jump last season.
Yeah, I'm saying that they might do another one to bring it closer.
They won't do that until the very end.
Okay.
And they say that the beginning part, the flash forward or whatever it is to the Gene.
The black and white part?
Yeah, the Gene timeline where he works at the Cinnabon in Omaha.
Yeah.
It's going to be 15 minutes long.
Really?
Yeah.
Every episode?
No, just the first one.
Oh, man.
Now, do you think that timeline is the same timeline where Jesse is
In Alaska?
Right?
Yeah, that happened right.
Yes.
Okay, so he goes to Alaska, but what happened in El Camino happened right after Breaking Bad.
Right.
Man, that was such a good TV movie.
And what's happening in Omaha with Gene is happening simultaneously, like while Walt was in New Hampshire.
Mm. Okay. Right. Okay. Wow. I wonder what's going to happen, if they'll resolve that, if you'll see that black and white. Someone should do a supercut at the end, or maybe it'll be released that way.
100% they will resolve that.
So
that's one of the most exciting moments of the show.
Where did we leave off at the end of season four?
We leave off with Jimmy finally getting his license back after the whole season of not being a lawyer.
And selling cell phones all season.
That whole emotional speech he gives in front of the review board is bullshit.
Yeah. Basically showing that he is, which is what me and Lisa argued about.
But his girlfriend,
he breaks her heart. Like,
Rhea Seehorn, what's her name?
Kim Wexler.
She bought it all, and then he crushed her, right?
Mm-hmm. And then he asks for a DBA when he's doing his final paperwork, his reinstatement paperwork, which is doing business as...
Saul Goodman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He says, because I'm not going to use the McGill name anymore.
Right. All right. So that's where it leaves off.
And
where is it going to pick up in season five?
He was already giving out cards when he was selling cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
As under the moniker of Saul Goodman.
Right.
So with the intent of those people that he was selling those phones to would one day be his clients.
Right.
So we're going to open with him doing, you know, the trailer where they've shown him coming out of a tent.
Let me tell you this. You don't watch the trailers? And let me tell you why. Because I don't want any spoilers at all.
For goodness sakes.
Hang on a minute now. I like this show an awful lot. You're absolutely right that I should have watched it. Everyone was. Jeff included. You're right, but it's one of those things that I'm looking forward to so much, I don't want any of it spoiled.
So then we can't talk about what we already know is coming in season five. It'll spoil it.
This is different.
They're not giving spoilers in those trailers.
I just don't want to see anything.
Okay, well, anyway, he's popping out of a tent, which looks like he's doing like a roadside sale of his law services to people on the street.
All right.
And I believe also we're going to see continued construction on the lab.
All right.
We left off with Gus. Mike making his first kill.
That's the side
for Gus.
Side program, right? That's the or the co-story besides right. Saul mm-hmm. is how Gus starts creating his empire, right?
Well, it's Mike's origin story. And Mike, of course, we know Mike eventually ends up with Gus, so we knew Gus had to come into it at some point, and he's
very
fully on.
Nice.
And Gail's in now, too.
Gail. Oh, I loved Gail. I was so sad what happened to him.
That's where I wonder where the connection comes, because if Breaking Bad doesn't start till 2008, and he doesn't meet Fring until 2009 and starts cooking in that warehouse, it sure seemed then that that warehouse never had been used, or that lab never had been used before.
Well, they were still bringing the last of the equipment in when, right. when he brought Walt in, so it was brand spanking new.
Where are they cooking now?
We don't know, because he just has drugs occasionally.
Yeah. Okay. Now, who will be from Breaking Bad, who will be on the show that we haven't seen yet? Anyone?
Definitely see Dean Norris.
Okay. Oh,
Hank.
Yeah.
Uncle Hank.
Hey, that's not, don't do that.
Uncle Hank. I believe that we're going to see the White family move in to Albuquerque.
Oh, you got to hate it when the Whites move in. They ruin the neighborhood.
Season 5, gentrified.
And like Walter getting his
Hi,
job.
Hi, we're here. We're going to plant flowers.
Don't you think we'll see him getting his job at the high school? I think we'll see that in the periphery.
I don't think we'll see Walt.
Yeah,
I do.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, who are the rich people that offered him money? The people that ripped him off? He was dating the chick and she went with the
Elliot and Gretchen. Yeah. What was their last name?
The actress who plays
White,
Gretchen
right?
is on
Black or something? Because they're gray matter,
yeah,
right?
Great, yeah, yeah. But, yes, she's on
the
center. Yeah.
I haven't seen the most recent one.
Jessica
Hecht. I'm loving this season a lot.
Yeah, it's so creepy. That oh, wait guy. Till you see the one from this week.
Yeah, I like that show.
Yeah.
It's something different, and I really like Bill
Pullman.
Pullman, yeah, I like him too. Are you watching Briar Patch?
What's Briar? No, please.
Are you Jeff? Are you?
I don't know what that. What is
the
that?
Rosario Dawson show?
Oh no, I saw the previews.
That was really good.
I thought it looked interesting, but I missed the first couple.
They ran more previews than Mike Bloomberg runs commercials.
They did.
And
that's impossible.
I don't care about shit like that. Hi, Mike Bloomberg, and I'm interrupting this podcast to tell you that I'm running for... You know what? If Mike Bloomberg would give us each $5,000, I would promote the fuck out of him.
What happened with Rosario Dawson this week? She came out but didn't say anything?
Her parents are being sued for, because of the business they run, they are being sued for discriminating against LGBTQ.
So what business do they run?
I don't know. I just read
it. But she came out as something, but
she
didn't
came out
say
as
what
queer.
She was. No, she didn't.
Or bi.
She didn't say what she was.
Oh, well,
she just said she wanted to come out. But she didn't identify
came out
as anything.
Steven Spielberg's daughter came out as a porn
star.
What the fuck? Why are you coming out? Is that some sort of sexual orientation? You're a porn.
If
comes
your dad
out
has $6 billion, do you have to be a porn star for real?
Maybe she can't act.
So you can't live off the trust fund?
I don't know.
It's empowering.
Yeah. It's empowering. Yeah, that's they treat it like it's some empowering bullshit. You don't have to go out there and sling your gash for money.
She's not doing that, Tim. She's only doing topless scenes.
If it were empowering, she'd just be doing it, right? She wouldn't be asking for money.
Well, then doing... No, right. In doing topless scenes... Yes, exactly. Topless scenes isn't porn.
And it's only Solo.
Is that it? Is that true?
That's
with,
true.
She's with Han Solo is what you're saying?
No.
Oh. I'm going to bang your daughter. I'm going to give her the indie.
Jurassic
I'm going to give it the indie. What, Jurassic Pork?
Yeah.
Indiana Bones. Anyway, so good luck to her.
It's a good show.
What is?
Briar Patch.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I should check it out.
We can't talk about everything.
We most certainly can.
Not on this show.
Briar Patch. Briar Patch, the podcast, hosted by Roby Neely.
Okay, so
starting in 2021.
Hey, Roby and I could do Briar Patch podcast. So the other thing about that you need to know also about Better Call Saul is the Nacho, what he's dealing with,
right.
with the latest Salamanca, Lalo.
Okay.
Lalo, who's even more of a pain in the ass than Hector or Tuco ever were.
Tuco.
Yeah, and Tuco will come back. We'll have to see Tuco get out of jail and return.
Right.
So there's still a lot. We're going to have to see heightened tension between Lydia and Mike.
I might
there's
do a rewatch. I might need to do a rewatch.
You should. I just did.
I just
and
did
was,
a watch.
You need, yeah.
You never watched it?
He
I just finally did.
Watched
no,
it.
I just hadn't caught up on the last season. It
oh,
just finally
okay.
came out on Netflix.
So you
last
like
week.
It then?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just was not caught up on it.
He and you were a Breaking Bad fan?
Yes. I watched that live for 6 years or however long.
I was late to that.
Yeah.
I remember when Jeff and I lived together, last year we lived together, he was watching it, and I was like, what's this stupid show? I'm going to go in my room and look at porn in 4chan.
Yeah, I just remember seeing, hey, it's the guy from Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah.
Still in his underwear, but this time with a gun.
Jesse. Boy, those kids. You don't see them too much.
He's a Formula One racer now or something.
Who?
Malcolm.
Oh, is he?
From Malcolm in the
Middle? Just saying you don't see them a lot.
No.
I never watched it.
There's a lot of rumors
about
that.
Malcolm in the Middle was funny.
No, it was a great show. Yeah. Malcolm in the Middle was fucking hilarious.
Hmm.
But there's a lot of rumors about that show that are very unsettling.
Oh.
Like C-Dan, Crazy Days and Nights stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah, go Google it. I'm not going to talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
So when is your show going to recap the first episode? When will the first episode of Mike TV drop that talks about episode one of season six? Five,
well, we'll do a one and two combo because it's airing. Episodes one and two are airing back to back.
So clear some space on
your
weekend.
Yeah.
Clear some space on your iPod, people.
So probably.
Well, you can stream it. Use your data.
Yeah, for the year.
Yeah.
It's the best way to listen.
We should record this week, so yeah. It should be out by Friday or Saturday.
You should have that. He's good. And thorough. And thorough.
Yeah, if record I'm, that for
Big
us.
Lebowski,
record
a little. Why do I got to do your editing?
That's where.
I gotta do your fucking editing.
If you guys actually really listened to our podcast,
I listen to
know,
it all the time.
You know that our hashtag Keep It Thorough was born from you all teasing us. With
I know
the,
you told me that. I mean,
I know,
I learned it on
I'm
the
telling
show.
Jeff.
Jeff knows.
I know.
I've been keeping it from him all this time.
That's our new
Let's
hashtag.
See.
Keep it from Jeff.
Keep it from Jeff. Hashtag Keep It Canon and from Jeff. Because he'll go around telling it. So, what's your favorite episode of? Better Call Saul.
I mean, that's hard. I really loved the episode where Nacho has to do the pill switch in Hector's jacket from season three.
Yes.
And I also love in season three the courtroom scene with Chuck and Saul and Huel. That's our first introduction of Huel.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the best scene in a drama show, and I can't tell you how long. That
the
whole
courtroom
thing,
scene?
And he should have won an Emmy for that.
McKean should have been nominated even.
That scene with the batteries and him losing his shit. And
his character was such an asshole, but you loved the guy.
Yeah, you did. Well, he loved his brother, but hated him.
Yeah.
And then from season four, the scene where Mike loses the tail of Lalo, where he pulls into the parking... parking, not garage, but I guess parking lot with the arm, and he puts the gum in there to get away. Oh, so great.
I think episode wise, it's very hard for me to find a full episode where I'm just dialed in because it's such a slow paced show.
But it is.
What I always tell Lisa with this is that Gilligan does such a good job. He did it with Breaking Bad. He's doing it now of these small
from
little
Gilligan's
moments.
Island? Or?
Yes. Finally got off the island and started producing Breaking Bad.
It's the great Vince Gilligan.
Vince Gilligan.
When is the Harlem Globetrotters going to be on?
He does such a good job of making small moments with tertiary characters so breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
The episode this past season, or season four, where Werner, the head of the German instruction crew, has to go back down and check the dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 5-minute scene where he's just having to check this wire and he's so afraid, he's shaking, there's so much tension. You assume at any moment he's gonna blow up. Any other show they were setting that up for him to die, and he gets out of it, he's relieved. But I mean, just the tension they can build so easily in such a small amount of time with someone you really don't have long-term care for.
Right.
He's great with that. Well, the whole show is great with that.
Even the Werner scene, that scene was so intense. But even at the very end, in the season four finale, when Mike has to take him out into the field, and Werner has this slow realization that it's done for, you know, he's donezos, and he says, "I'll just go take a walk and look at the stars." And then the camera pans out and you get the wide view and you just see Mike walking behind him and then shoot him in the back of the head.
Hi.
And it's just like silent and beautiful and breathtaking and to behold, but also so shocking and horrifying. And, you know, Mike genuinely liked this man. He thought of him, I mean, I think as much as Mike's going to have any friends,
right,
he really liked that guy. So, sucked for him.
It was the best of Mice and Men scene I've seen.
That's good, yeah.
Tell him about the rabbits.
Yeah. Well, good. So, hope everybody's watching Better Call Saul, and you got to listen to Mike TV each and every week for recaps of that. And
when's Westworld start?
Yeah, when's Westworld?
March 15th.
Right. Now, explain, where do we leave off with
March
that?
March 15th?
That should be fucking confusing. Okay.
I can tell you.
What's her face is out. She gets on the train and leaves.
Yeah, so hopefully you're all caught up on Westworld because it's a big spoiler, but Dolores gets out. She gets out disguised in Tessa Thompson's as Tessa Thompson, though.
Yeah, so okay.
And we're going to see what we really always knew as fans of Westworld was that the it's set far into the future. Mm-hmm. I mean, to have a theme, you know, to have this kind of activity
like for, its own for continent
your,
or
for
whatever.
Your leisure. Yeah, right. Of course, it's well, it's futuristic. So we're going to see our world now in the year, what, 20, it's hundreds of years, a couple hundred years into the future. And so that's where these five robots are now out, because Dolores got out with five of the
so
brain
there's
eggs.
There's a time hop?
The brain egg. No. It was always in that time. We all just right. never saw the outside world.
Oh, okay.
So now we're going to see this very futuristic portrayal of the real world
right.
with these. Dolores gets out with the brain egg. She recreates Bernard and Maeve. And, well, we've seen them all in the trailers. Who am I forgetting? Anyway, so
Rodrigo's
she. Oh, and we saw Cyclops. Why do I always forget his name?
James Martin.
Cyclops.
So she's gonna bring them all in, and
Teddy.
And the whole thing is, it's kind of like the five of them against the real world.
And then they discover faster than light jump drives, and they go to COBOL and start a new society. Oh no, they go to Earth, and the humans stay in COBOL. And then they discover that they can create more technology, and they create eight more. And then there's 13 of them, right?
Yep.
Is that the right show?
Yep.
Oh no, wait a minute. That's a different show. Battlestar Galactica.
Oh.
You never watched that.
I never watched Battlestar. Yeah,
you'd get it. Have you ever watched that show?
I'm not a Cylon fan, though.
Not a Cylon fan. You wouldn't like Cylon number 6? I bet you would.
I do know who Cylon number 6 is.
I would agree to watch it if you would agree to watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I've already watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Not.
I watched the first season of it when
it was
on TV.
The first season is nothing compared to the
Look,
rest
if you
of
don't
it.
Have right-wing Christy Swanson in the movie.
Yeah, or Luke Perry.
Yeah.
Oh, Sarah Michelle Gellar blows them both out of the water.
I wish. The movie with Christy Swanson. Now that is a masterpiece. And by the way, she is a complete loon on Twitter. She and Dean Cain, right?
And my husband.
He's not a right winger. He's just a shitster.
No, he's just a crazy person on Twitter.
Well, he thinks around corners.
Okay.
Well, you can't. Sometimes I have to ask him, what the fuck are you talking about? He's making a point, but.
He thinks around corners.
Yes,
I like it.
Yes. I stole that from a Stephen King book. Anyway, more?
On
Better Call Saul?
No, Westworld.
Westworld, okay.
So we're going to see more.
Okay, so Dolores has some plan, I guess, to take over the world. And,
yeah.
And there's already a lot of, from what the trailers have shown, very futuristic advanced technology, robotics technology is already in existence.
So Westworld exists as a place where people can go experience old humanity or old cultures and stuff. Okay.
And shoot up people and screw people and do whatever with
That'd
no consequences.
That'd be the only reason I went.
Well, of course. That's
basically
the only reason
just the eventual next step in video games, I suppose.
But the whole premise of the show is the rebellion of these robots who are sick of being used as these, you know, and abused.
Right.
So,
well, you're robots.
Well, they're supposed to be wiped every time and then something's happened.
Sentient.
They're not getting...
Yeah, they're not getting wiped, huh?
I think it's fascinating. I thought season two was great.
Yeah, me too.
No, you didn't.
I know, you're right. I hated it.
I do worry it might eventually get too woke with robot rights, you know, like...
Well, of course it will.
Well, what we do see is Dolores befriends whatever character is Aaron Paul is playing, and I think he's human. And he becomes, you know, the sympathizer.
I think
he's going to be the sympathizer for them.
Yeah. And Vincent Cassell's in this
episode,
this season.
Vincent Cassell, who's that?
He's that French guy from Ocean's 12 that does all the dancing.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Right.
I think he's going to be kind of the big bad because it looks like he hires
Maeve
to fight and kill
Dolores. That's right. I did see
that. So you might get an awesome girl-on-girl robot fight by the end.
I don't want them to fight. I want them to make up.
It starts with a fight.
I want everything to happen. All right. Well, that's awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And you'll stick around for the rest of the show.
Of course.
And jump in and Lisa's here.
Hi, it's Casey, and time for Casey's Biggest Hits. Casey Kasem, still haven't worked on the voice, but you're just going to have to suspend disbelief. I heard a guy the other day who could do me doing Shaggy. Sounded really, really good. This week, we take a look back to the top 10 singles from January 4th, 1992. Let me turn this music down before we get kicked off for violating copyright. Let me fade it out. So let's start at number 10. Wild Side by Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. I've never in my life heard that song. At number 9, Blowing Kisses in the Wind by Paula Abdul.
Oh my God.
What a song. Speaking of Casey's biggest tits. At number 8, Hammer, Too Legit to Quit. Remember that song?
Mm-hmm.
Too Legit to Pay Your Taxes. At number 7, Michael Bolton's When a Man Loves a Woman. When a man loves a woman, he lets her keep his head in a jar after he's dead. Or drive around with him in a freezer while his daughter's chasing her. What a caper show that would be. At number 6, C.C. Penitent, Pent Penis Ton. Finally, another song I couldn't remember if you shot me. PM Dawn comes in at number 5 with Set Adrift on Memory Bliss. I do know that one.
I don't.
At number 4, Mariah Carey and Can't Let Go.
Yuck.
At number 3, Color Me Bad with All for Love. I don't know any of these fucking songs. Boys to Men come in at number 2 with It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday.
What?
No shit.
No, Master P took it later on.
And number 1, here's one we all know, Michael Jackson, Black and White. Or White. Black or White.
That's the only song I knew from that whole list.
You didn't know any of the other ones?
No.
What was the Paula Abdul song?
Blowing Kisses in the Wind. I know that one.
Not the one where she dances with the cat.
This was 92?
1992.
What a shitty year.
Too legit to quit.
Hey,
you know that one.
Yuck.
Set Adrift on Memory Bliss is a real good song. PM Dawn were cool as shit.
Sing that one.
Set Adrift on Memory Bliss.
I don't know that.
All right, well, listen. You guys vamp for a second.
Vamp?
We're vamping.
What's the recap count?
You ever see that movie Vamp?
Yes. What a great movie. This is Set Adrift on Memory Bliss. They're like hippie hip-hops. Hippie hip-hoppers.
I miss this entirely.
This is straight early 90s music.
Oh, hell yeah.
All the Boys to Men, Coloring Bad, this. Yeah, it's all the same.
But this is psychedelic. I heard a song the other day on my 80s. We have an 80s playlist. Yeah, they sampled...
Okay.
Oh.
These fellas.
Spandau Ballet.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. If you send me a... Set Adrift on Memory Bliss.
Never heard this version.
No, I'd rather just hear the Spandau Ballet song.
That's a good song. I like the hip. That was a weird era for hip hop. They had that band Arrested Development, which had awesome tunes, but you know, hippie like, you know, for the Gen Xers.
And what was that? Soul to Soul, that Back to Life.
That wasn't hippie. That was Back good. To reality. I was going to say something else, but I forgot what I was going to say. So we won't worry about it. We will not worry about it. But thank you, Casey. Thank you, Casey. We will keep counting them down each and every week.
An ABC News brief. Now from Washington, Britt Hume.
Good evening. In Geneva today, Secretary of State Schultz and Soviet Foreign Minister Shevardnadze announced they've agreed on a treaty to ban medium-range nuclear missiles.
I like the way you make me laugh. I like the funny things you do. You got a style that's all your own. I like the Sprite in you. You make me want to smile.
Hey guys, here's another one of Radio Labyrinth's awesome sponsors, Bailey Tree Care LLC in Gainesville, Georgia. You can contact Nick Bailey at 770-530-9421 or Jason Chappell at 404-234-2599. Bailey Tree Care. They are Northeast Georgia's premier choice for high-quality tree care services at affordable prices. Their tree care experts bring an excellent safety record and over 10 years of experience in the industry. Bailey Tree Care specializes in residential products and offers free estimates for all your tree service needs. Residential tree care, certified arborists and tree climber, tree trimming and pruning, tree removal, stump grinding and removal, shrub trimming, pruning, underbrush clearing, and mulch and firewood sale. Safety, professionalism, and affordability. Call them today to discuss your tree care need. That's Bailey Tree Care LLC.
Sure, you can join.
Can he be president? Catch the wave! Coke!
That's just...
Time for some news and shit. What do you got? What do you got?
Now, Battlestar Galactica is coming back from Sam Ismail.
Sam Email, who created
Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot.
And Homecoming.
About a kid who got molested.
Mass Email.
And by the way, he's a producer of Briar Patch.
Okay, great.
A little callback there.
So what kind? What universe is this? The old ABC universe, or is this the 2004?
The Ron Moore reboot universe, the one that you like that I don't like.
Okay. So Ron Moore. Oh, that's right. Ron Moore. He's cool with it. He's cool with it. But how are they going to? Here's my question about that. If it's set in that same universe, spoiler alert. They have a finale that just says there's nothing's going to happen after this. So
maybe it happens concurrently or before.
Concurrently or before. Or maybe there was another Battlestar.
Yeah, maybe it's the Pegasus.
But if all the Cylons stand down, okay, it's going to be confusing.
Trust Sam Esmail.
I do trust Sam Esmail. He's a very good showrunner.
But isn't everyone a Cylon?
No.
Who wasn't a Cylon on your Battlestar Galactica?
Humans.
But who were the humans? Name one.
Let's see. Well.
Cylon.
Colonel Adama.
Yeah, Cylon.
Commander Adama was not a Cylon.
How do you know?
Because he wasn't. They had the test.
Ty
and his wife are Cylons.
Spoiler alert.
He took Truvada for prep.
Hey, they changed the name.
It's Duchovny for prep or something. Like that.
It's David Duchovny. Let me rub your genitals, then you can have anal sex. Sully. Let me rub your genitals. So
I don't know. This is on that new NBC.
Oh, yeah.
Streaming service.
To try to get you to sign up for Peacock. I'm not doing that. No one's doing that. Put it out on your fucking network or sci-fi or whatever.
I think maybe by the time this NBC one's ready to drop, people are going to realize that nobody's paying for the fucking CBS All Access.
Oh, people are canceling that left and right.
Everyone's just stealing Picard and Star Trek Enterprise.
It's like at least FX is putting theirs on Hulu, mm-hmm. so they're not making their own thing.
Now, when it comes to Battlestar Galactica, I like that old universe. It was hokey and goofy, but at least the difference is that it was a completely different universe and there were other aliens besides humans. The Cylons on that show were robots created by a lizard species called Cylons, who created the robots because they were dying off and they wanted to conquer more planets.
Right.
In fact, if you watch the original episodes, the Supreme Leader was one of those lizard people. And, you know, they had like afros, but they were lizards.
Like lizard people from V?
No, not like that. But I don't know. They kind of look like Howard Stern. So the whole mythos of that world is completely different, and the humans, it's still Caprica and it's still Mormons in space, but wasn't it Glenn Larson who created it?
Yeah
really?
Yeah, well the planet that they all originate
from, the
Farside
guy?
No, that's
Gary Larson.
Oh.
Yeah, the planet they all originate from is called Kobol. The planet that Mormons go to is Kolob. So there's a lot of that in the, there's a lot of Masonic stuff in the original series.
Hmm.
And, you know, they struck when the iron was hot. Is that right? Strike when the iron...
From Star Wars?
Whatever, I don't know. But yeah, they followed that Star Wars thing, you know. And so the series back then was a lot 70s oriented, and it was more machismo related. And then the new one comes along, and it still has the same kind of mythos, but the Cylons were created by humans to be their robots. Much like Westworld, mm-hmm. and the robots, they rebel. Mm-hmm.
Well, first they advance themselves with artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
And then they make themselves look like humans.
Right.
So the rebooted series was not part of the canon?
No.
Or was they were two separate shows entirely?
Two separate universes.
So you don't have to watch both to get the full experience?
No, not at all.
And do you not recommend the first series?
No, I mean, for nostalgia, if you grew up in the 70s and 80s and you remember watching it, don't watch Galactica 1980. That's fucking horrible.
So which one, if someone were going to dive into Battlestar Galactica series?
Episodic television and well-written stuff, you should watch the reboot.
Yeah, early 2000s?
2004 was the miniseries, and then they did the four-season series.
Oh.
And then there's a couple movies, I think, thrown in there.
Yeah, also. There's Razor, which is taken from the original series, but just updated. Lloyd Bridges played the commander of that Battlestar in that. But it's very similar. And then there's a prequel series where you learn how Commander Adama joined the first Cylon War. And then there's Caprica, which came after, which was really maligned, but was a good series. It was boring, but it was a good series.
Now they're just trying to capitalize on Picard coming out, I guess. Mm.
This will be different, I guess. Well, Picard is completely what it is. Picard is what it is. What other stories you got?
They're wanting to remake Escape from New York for some reason.
Yeah.
And they want Kurt Russell's son from Blood 49 to...
Didn't they just do this?
Remake Escape from New York?
Yeah, I thought it was just remade.
I don't think so.
Okay, so they're going to remake it with, what's his name?
Wyatt Russell. Love him. So bummed about the cancellation of Lodge 49.
Do you think he'd want to do it?
Yeah, I don't see why not. He's got nothing else to do.
Well, he's in the Falcon and Winter Soldier.
So yeah.
Right.
Well, RoboCop flopped, Total Recall flopped, but what they're saying about this is that it won't be a bloated, quote, bloated tentpole remake. Whatever that means.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Because there's only two. There's Escape from New York and Escape from L.A. Escape from L.A. sucked. Escape from New York is a great cult classic
film. And
they
weren't big, bloated, tentpole movies.
No.
Like, they weren't back then, you know, they weren't what you would consider a blockbuster
movie. No.
They were like that old school, early action style that was coming around in the 80s.
Right. So. What else, Joe?
They already renewed Outsider, or they're talking about renewing Outsider for another season.
So that indicates that the finale will be a cliffhanger, maybe?
I don't know. I don't know if they'll just get new source material, or I haven't heard anything about Stephen King coming out with another book in this.
He says it blew him away. It's a good show.
It is. Or maybe they'll just do other towns where this, other goo people exist.
They kind of set it up to be where maybe there's these things all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
But won't that just get redundant?
Maybe.
Well, they'd have to change it up. So,
yeah.
Because you're right. It would be. It's the same thing. We got to figure it out all over again.
Maybe this Holly Gibney will meet the Holly Gibney from Mr. Mercedes.
Yeah.
It'll be parallel universes.
I am loving it, though.
Me, too. It's one of the shows of this winter that I'm really, really into. You said Whitney Cummings canceled her engagement.
Yeah, shortly after your interview with her. What happened there?
I had nothing to do with
it. I think there was a little chemistry.
There was no chemistry. She's like, she was a process interview for young Whitney.
Says you.
Yes. What else?
Let's see. Oh, that you. Watchmen one.
Yeah, so they're recategorizing Watchmen as a limited series, which means there'll probably be more seasons, and then they won't have to, you know, continue a timeline.
The same cast.
Right.
Well, and that'll be good, I think, for the Emmys, because it'll have a better chance of winning, I think, in the limited series.
Right.
And it deserves some wins. So
I think the best thing, the best thing about that show, I mean, the writing, like I said, I like the acting and the visual part of it was all amazing. What I think the best thing it did was bring to light that Tulsa massacre that we don't know anything about or never knew anything about that really happened. Yeah. So it's nice that we get to learn, you know, hey, look, this shit that happened.
Did you finish it?
Yeah, I didn't like it, but I finished it.
You didn't like the ending?
No.
I thought the ending was great.
The ending was amazing.
Yeah, it was dumb.
And you didn't like the paradox?
Nope.
As I popped my peas, the paradox. The paradox was... The paradox was
everything. I'm not a big
everything.
Fan of his anyway, so.
You get to see that real life Excalibur, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not really a big fan. I mean, the ending of Lost, I thought was shit. I thought the last season was shit.
Since we're talking about Watchmen, can I
hear you? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Dean's busting out the gifts.
Right, so we got gifts.
Gifts that are actually, they're re-gifts, but they're shared gifts. So we have someone we've connected with on Twitter, Mike Fairbanks, who runs MAF Workshop on his spare time.
What's MAF Workshop?
He does 3D printing, wood printing, all sorts of modeling, basically.
Okay.
So he made us some Watchmen, or we saw that he was making these Watchmen kind of just trinkets and things like that. I reached out to him, and he had a bunch of extra things he'd been working on and making. So he sent us a couple packages last year with some Watchmen stuff. So these are not heavily involved. You could pass this off as old Watchmen stuff probably.
All right.
So you could say it's canon. But they are two squid shelter signs.
Nice.
All right. And so we got that one. We have this one as well.
Oh, that's cool.
So
cool.
I figured
that is awesome.
Somewhere you can decide who wants which one. I figured you'd want the black and white one because you were so into the race storyline.
That was awesome.
So is this wood?
It's easy. Yeah, you cut them with wood. Now, yours is cut wood, straight cut wood. His has some 3D printed pieces onto wood background.
My wife will find a nice place in the basement for that.
Yeah, I figured you could put it with your other
everything
stuff. Yeah,
mine are on my mantle.
Yeah, I know. Lisa, your house is a pop culture museum. We have pop culture in the basement in my house.
Yeah, no.
And, you know.
We have it everywhere.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank Dean. I'm not partying.
What's his name again?
Me.
Give him a plug. Oh, yeah.
Mike Fairbanks, MAF, at Mike Fairbanks on Twitter, at MAF _workshop.
Can you take
MAF
pictures
workshop
of both of those and text me, and then I'll put them on our...
Yeah.
He's recently been sharing that he also made a 3D printing masterpiece of Hector's bell.
Hector Salamanca's bell.
And I really want that.
Can you get him to make a 3D version of the Dr. Manhattan?
He actually had someone ask him that.
Just the one part.
He did say that technically he could if he needed to.
Okay, good. That's good to know.
Yeah, in the event of emergency, he's there.
Here's another piece of news that should excite everybody. Friends reunion special at HBO Max is officially confirmed, and this comes from IGN. An unscripted Friends reunion special will be available on HBO Max. Now, what is HBO Max?
It's their subscription.
Yeah, but it's just I have HBO Now or Go, whatever it's called
HBO
right now.
Go or whatever.
I assume it's just turning into HBO Max.
So is this
I don't think so.
No?
So if you already pay for HBO, you'll have to pay to watch this other shit.
I think that's how they're trying to do it.
Fuck that.
Everybody, I heard that if you have HBO, you'll automatically have it.
I haven't heard that, and I wish I would hear that because I already have HBO and I don't want to pay for something more.
So will HBO Max not have what's on HBO?
They'd have to get people
seems
to buy
silly,
it.
Silly, yeah.
Yes, it's dumb.
I think they're hoping to come up with enough original shit to sell it like Disney Plus, where
it could be a bundle.
Is it called that because they own Cinemax, so it'll be both?
I guess so,
yes.
Yeah.
And they actually bought all of the Friends catalog. Yeah. So Friends will go off of TBS and Nick at Night and all that stuff and be solely on, which is strange that Peacock didn't.
Yeah,
it's all about studios, not networks. It's the studios. The networks don't own the shit, right? Well, they're all back. They're all coming back, and it's Variety says they're going to make $2.5 million. Hollywood Reporter says they're going to make $3 million each. What an easy payoff!
Yeah, but it's not even supposed to be like a show, right? Like it's just them talking about the show. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Talking about clips and shit.
Yeah, it's not even it's not like they're doing a reunion special version.
You could do that
Friends
on fucking YouTube.
You could do that on the damn Oprah show.
That's a bummer.
Matthew Perry needs money for drugs.
Yeah.
Well, I like that Odd Couple he was on.
Yeah, that was good.
With Cryer?
CBS.
I wish Lisa Kudrow would do another season of The Comeback.
Yeah, The Comeback was awesome.
I love that show, yeah.
Everyone from that show has done really well, really, haven't they? Except for who? Courtney Cox has done all right.
She's still doing things.
David Schwimmer, what's he doing?
What's Matt LeBlanc done?
He has a show right now. He had episodes.
Well, and David Schwimmer was in the O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
He was, oh my God. The Kardashian.
Jesus. Robert Kardashian.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
He was so good.
Yeah. Well, it's 10 minutes after the hour here on the Diamonds in the Morning program. So who died this week? Well, let's see. We got 74-year-old Jeanette Dubois. She was on the show Good Times, you know. That was a show that we watched all the time coming home from school on Channel 11. It was on every day, WPIX, and it was set in the Chicago ghetto. Show done by Norman Lear and Tandem Productions about the family that lived in the ghetto and they were happy. And the father from the first season was played by Jeff.
His name?
Yep.
From Die Hard 2.
John Amos.
And just, you know, testing you all out there, see if you knew it. John Amos. And he wanted more money, so they killed him off. Sent him off to Alaska to work, and he died. And that was the end of that.
Damn.
That's right. And then Florida, she dated a string of different men and finally found herself one. She left the show, and Wilona was there for an entire season, being the parent to all those kids, including
Janet Jackson,
who played the young Penny, who wasn't very good with ironing clothes, as I recall. No, that was a terrible scene when her mother ironed her. Do you remember that, when her mother ironed her on the show? And then, of course, she got to live with Jeanette Dubois' character, who was very, very funny on the show. In addition to being on Good Times for all those seasons and making fun of the superintendent Bookman by calling him Booger and Buffalo Butt, she was also in films called I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, Charlie's Angels Full Throttle, the television show Moesha, the Steve Harvey Show, A Different World, and the Wayne Brothers, and most importantly, she recorded and sang the theme song to The Jeffersons.
Mm-hmm.
That is her voice. Beautiful voice. Also passing is a guy that apparently advertised on WNBC back when it started. Do you remember the Hair Club for Men?
I do remember it.
If you grew up in a town that had a superstation, you and this guy was in your bargain. Cy Sperling died at 78 years old. He was a bald fucker who started found a way to make a wig. We had a friend growing up.
At least he wasn't nappy headed.
Hey, now listen.
Not only the president, also
I don't
want to
get suspended. I have a radio show up here in Evan, and I don't want to get so no nappy headed old bullshit. What?
I said not only the president, also the client.
That's right. He was also a client. Now, the Hair Club for Men was founded in 1976 by Cy Sperling, who famously quipped what you just said. I'm not only the Hair Club president, but I'm also a client. Bernard McGurk, you need to use this, you bald son of a bitch. Bo Deedle, he's a bald bastard. I'm waiting up here for you. With Cy just got here, and we're going to be stapling wigs onto people. We had a friend in college who refused to go bald gracefully, and he spent an awful lot of money on at the age of 21 getting a wig from Cy Sperling, and it was really disgusting. It looked like a skunk on his head. For decades, the Hair Club for Men is advertised on television. Nowadays, you can use Rogaine or just go get stitches. You can take hair from the back of your back of your legs, your balls, your ass, and just stick it in your head. I don't know. Does it work? You'll have to ask Bo Deedle. In 2004, Hair Club was purchased by Regis, which not Regis Philbin. That's what I thought. But Regis is some hair company. And then 2012, Regis sold the Hair Club to the Japanese hair restoration company Aderons. So there you go. There's that.
Rest in peace, Cy.
Thank you. Not only is he a client, he's also here in hell.
He gets his hair back in heaven.
No, you're bald as hell. I didn't get my lung back. You better not get his hair. I'm just saying. Oh, God. So, let's see. We can do the what did you watch this week?
Nobody put one in there but me.
I know. I wrote it down.
I watched Picard, episode 4. I just started episode 5 this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So good so far.
I've only watched the first two, and I noped.
You noped?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's not Star Trek.
No, it's good.
I didn't say it wasn't good. It's just not Star Trek.
7 of 9 just showed up.
Yeah. Curb was funny as shit this week.
Yeah.
Did you like that one?
Yeah.
Now, I love... You know, Vince Vaughn is playing Funkhauser's brother.
Love it.
Yep. Do you watch it?
I don't.
You've never seen it?
Funkhauser was
nephew.
Super Dave, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Not his brother, his nephew.
Nephew, okay. Yeah.
Freddie Funkhauser.
Yeah.
Always.
And then the old man... Who is that actor playing? The old man with the love doll. It's been ridiculous this season.
It really
season.
Has.
But
got to get into this
it's
show.
It's funny. It's super funny, and there's so much J.B. Smoove this season.
Yep.
It's funny as shit.
And Ted Danson's...
Ted Danson.
Kind of invest in Mocha Joe now.
I'm going to spite your spite story. I'm going to spite... I love that he played generally. Yeah, well, you lost!
The spite store is my favorite storyline.
Yeah.
What's going to happen with those urinals? Something bad's going to happen.
Oh, somebody's going to get their dick chopped off.
The pee cubes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is October Faction?
It's good.
What's it about?
It's like it's one of those Canadian like sci-fi network style shows.
Yeah.
This family, the parents are in this, I forget what it's called, some sort of secret society where they go around killing like aliens and vampires and all sorts of different monsters and stuff.
What is that on?
It's on Netflix.
Oh, I've not heard of it.
Yeah, it just started right around the same time that Lock and Key started, and it's because I watched Lock and Key, it, you know, it said you would enjoy.
Sidebar here. Do you watch The Expanse?
Yeah.
I want to watch it. I want
everyone
to
start
says,
it. Everyone that I know says, loves that
yeah,
show.
Yeah, I've heard it's great.
I watched all the episodes on TyFi, and then I'm so glad that Amazon picked it up, and it was still just as good on Amazon this season. That they
so
just
can
released.
You watch the original seasons anywhere?
Yeah.
Amazon. They're all on Amazon.
All right. I want to watch that show.
Yeah. I've heard the same thing. And
it's hard sci-fi,
it.
Though.
It, but is
what
it?
I mean, it's hard sci-fi.
Like hard sci-fi, like science and shit.
Good.
Yeah.
Is the CGI like too sci-fi channel-y?
No.
Okay, because that would take me completely out of it.
No,
it's really
amazing.
It's supposed to be real. Everybody just raves about it. I can't believe. Was Lock and Key good, Jeff? Did you finish it?
Yeah, Lock and Key was okay. It was very PG.
Oh, it was? So it's safe for kids?
Yep.
Dean and I were talking about that. I thought it wasn't.
Can my 10-year-old watch it?
There was no sex, a little
bit. I'm out. She's into sex.
A little bit of drugs. Like one kid tried to smoke a joint one time, and maybe a little bit of language. But other than that, nothing.
Good deal.
Hang on.
Yeah, American Pie.
Oh, what else did you watch, Jeff?
Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, that Tom Hanks.
Was that good?
Yes. Yeah, it was pretty good. I was surprised.
Is it available to watch for free now, or did you download
think
it?
It's out streaming now.
Okay.
I think it's on DVD, yeah.
Red I saw it in the theater.
Don't drag me into this. It's a shitty day in my neighborhood. My red box flooded.
I went to see it in the theater because of Matthew Reeves.
Oh, aren't you special?
I love him.
How was Jumanji 2?
That was pretty good. Not as good as the first one.
I like Jumanji 2.
Yeah. Now this is.
I mean, it was still good, but
this is the rebooted,
the first one was
right?
better. Yeah. The Rock Kevin Hart one.
Yeah, I took my kids to see that in the theater, and they loved it, of course. But I as a parent taking his kids, it was I found it both the new ones I thought were actually really good. For reboots, I mean.
Considering that you have Charlie's Angels on here, did you watch it with your pants on? Because I can't imagine any other reason to watch that.
I couldn't finish it.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
They need to stop making Charlie's Angels.
I don't know. That's why I put it on here, because I wanted to ask, why do they keep fucking making these movies?
You didn't feel like an empowered woman by the end?
Well, they need to make it and cast all men as the angels.
No, they don't need to do that at all. No.
They keep trying to do this, and they obviously want to have a franchise of films, but they're just not doing it right.
Do you know why people watched Charlie's Angels in the 70s?
Farrah Fawcett.
There were chicks running around with their tits jiggling with no bras on.
Jacqueline Smith.
Well, even the ones they made in the early 2000s weren't.
Well, they were
terrible.
Fun. The first one especially.
Yeah.
Isn't that the one with Crispin Glover?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one with Crispin Glover.
And the second one has.
But they wouldn't use guns.
From the Leftovers as the bad guy.
Oh, Justin Theroux.
Yeah.
Survivor, that's back. You're into that.
That's all champions this year.
All right, so then you watched Hunters, right? The show where I play an old Jew. Poorly.
Saul Pacino.
What does an old Jew sound like?
Kind of like that.
Kind of like an old Jew.
Kind of like Al Pacino trying to sound like an old Jew.
I'm an old Jew, and do that about as well as I do.
That's from the Talmud.
Middle-aged, that's from the Talmud. Your grandmother was a superhero who went around killing all the Nazis. I see why... It's a good show. I see why you have...
It's very stylized, and that's what I'm enjoying about it.
Yeah.
And it's campy. It's not taking itself too seriously.
And that's where I've seen most of the people who are not liking it are people who thought this was going to be
a serious Quentin Tarantino type.
No, not even... To me, it's more Quentin Tarantino than even... They thought it was going to somehow have historical accuracy.
There's none.
No, who cares? I didn't go into it thinking it was going to be any of that. I just thought it was a fun show.
I just think it's ridiculous to, and I know where it's coming from because the writers are all millennials, I'm sure. Well, and seriously, and the show opens with that scene where, I forget that actor's name, he's really good. I like
Dylan Baker.
Dylan Baker.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite scene of all time with him is when he's jerking off to the teen beat. You know that movie?
No.
What's the name of that? Nuts.
Happiness.
Happiness. I was going to say the Todd Sloan.
Yeah, that movie is rough to watch more than once.
Sticks him on the wall.
Yeah, that's it.
Rough. Are you quoting the dog at the end?
Yeah. I came. The best line to end a movie of all time. That's a rough movie to watch, and Dylan Baker's character is super creepy in that film. But he's such a good actor, and the problem with it, okay, so it's set in 1977, and I'll tell you why it confused me. So it's 1977. There's this guy in Washington, D.C., a bureaucrat, whatever, having a party. And some guy shows up with this young, attractive lady. The young, attractive lady starts screaming. He's from one of the camps.
Right.
He tortured me in the camps. 1977.
Yeah, wouldn't he be 90 years old?
He wouldn't be 90 years old.
She would have been a small child.
She wouldn't even have been born yet because the camps were closed by 45.
Well, that's even if she was... A very young looking 33, would have been a infant.
Right. Yeah. So that is incredulous to me. Mm. And you know, he could have had the lady be older.
Right.
And seeing him. And then that whole scene, I thought, well, this is a dream sequence or something. And then they go back to it later that actually happened. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck?
It's campy, though.
Yeah, the acting, it's just people are going to get the wrong idea about it. We already live in an era where they think every white person's a fucking Nazi. And there are no Nazis. I'm telling you, there are no Nazis. There are right-wingers. There are white supremacists.
Why'd you buy all those tiki torches, then?
Well, because I have a mosquito problem.
He's going to have a barbecue. Hopefully the wrong people don't show up, though.
There are awful people all over the place. But these shows are just the shows that do this. And that was my problem with The Watchmen. The Watchmen, very noble at the beginning. And I just think toward the end of it, there's like, this is ridiculous. These things don't exist. And stop. They're new boogeymen. You know, aliens or whatever.
Well, they explained it, though, Tim. They explained
All right, we're not getting back into that bullshit.
They explained why the watch...
Yeah, okay, whatever.
They gave a satisfactory explanation to all of it.
Right, if you have to explain, you're trailing.
not that kind of explanation, but explanation to the black versus white tension.
All right. Getting back to this show, I think I'm gonna watch the second episode again. I mean, not again, but I'm gonna watch it and just see where it goes. You guys say it's good. I'm sure I like everybody.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it so far.
I like the, and what'd you say you liked about it at the beginning there? The scene, not the scenery, but the what?
The shower scene?
No. The feel of the show. What was
I don't know. It's campy. Like stylized.
Yeah, campy. I like that. Yeah. I like the music too, and they're not too ham-handed with that. So I appreciate that. What else, Jeff? Sorry, was that it? You have a staff pick.
Yeah, my staff pick is they just started showing Year of the Rabbit on IFC, which I talked about it briefly back when I was stealing it, when it was only on in the UK.
Yeah.
But now they're showing it on IFC, so get into that and watch it. It's the dude from Matt Berry from What We Do in the Shadows.
Awesome.
Oh, and he plays a cop in like Victoria era London.
Nice.
Yeah, Year of the Rabbit, I'm writing it down.
Year of the Rabbit. Dean, do you have a staff pick?
Yeah, I actually have an event staff pick.
Go ahead.
This Saturday, I don't know if there's still tickets left, but I'm going to be in Atlanta at Atlantic Station for the Atlanta Beer, Bourbon, and Barbecue Festival.
Okay.
I went last year and had a fantastic time until about 3 o'clock, and I assume I had a fantastic time the rest of the day, but I didn't know until about 3 o'clock the next day.
You blacked out, huh?
Yeah.
You had too much barbecue?
Yeah, too much. Yeah, I had a food coma. My wife last year actually did win the your former station had a contest, the Drink Like a Lady contest, where she
what
had
station?
To 105.
Oh, cool.
She had to, it was, I don't know, six ladies they had up there, and they had to drink two beers with a straw.
Yeah.
She won that. She won $100 doing nice. That.
So are you proud of her?
Well, at that point, again.
That's my girl.
Yeah.
That's my wife! Ah, I love you, baby!
That sounds fun. So that's Saturday.
This Saturday, the 29th.
Okay.
Leap year. Yeah, absolutely. Leap year. Also, Tim, I know you... half joke, but that usually means you're also half serious, and Lisa always gets mad at me for plugging this.
Oh,
but
no.
Keep going with the Masked Singer season 3.
Masked Singer is not a bad show.
Tony Hawk this past week was
they just knocked Tony Hawk off.
The elephant.
I watched the first. Is this season 3 already?
Yeah, well, yeah. Season 3 in the past year.
Who's the
yeah,
comedian joining the show? There's a new comedian.
They have a different person
yeah,
every
they
week,
have a
like
person.
An extra guest.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, but this season so far, they started with Lil Wayne. You know, he was one of the people, so I mean they're getting bigger names. Shaka Khan.
Yeah.
Shaka. That's so fair. She's a professional singer.
Yeah. Doesn't
a
lot matter.
Of she still got voted out.
Well, I'm reality
you know
TV
last,
free.
Last season, right?
Yeah.
Wayne Brady.
Yeah. He had to slap
that was
the
awesome.
The thing that I do with the Masked
they thought that was Jamie Foxx.
Yeah. Singer. Like the first season, I watched the whole episode and like watched the clue packages and got into all that bullshit, like trying to decipher shit. I'm done doing that.
Yeah. Just wait. Watch it and wait.
I fast forward through the entire show to the last 5 minutes where they take it off. Take it off. And then I go, do I recognize that person? Oh, that's Tony Hawk. Okay, cool.
Who's that? Some video game player? Yeah, I usually walk out of the room while they're actually singing and go do stuff while my family watches it. But I do try to decipher the clues as best I can.
Do you have a staff pick, Liz?
I have 3.
Oh, Jesus. I'll do mine then quick.
what?
This week's episode of Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast is very fun and very informative. You have Dick Cavett and Robert Bader. Robert Bader, of course, both of them very close to Groucho Marx. And Gilbert is very, very funny.
And they just had Steve Stollier on again recently, too.
Steve Stu?
Stollier, the guy that wrote the book about Groucho.
Oh, awesome.
That was a couple episodes ago.
I didn't know Dick Cavett was still alive.
Yeah. He is.
He's on Gilbert like once a year at least.
He sounds very, very old, though. So. We don't know how long he'll survive.
Still listen to Conan's podcast at all?
I do.
These guys,
he's had some great guests this year.
And don't miss Conan's podcast. Like, first thing I do Monday morning is refresh my podcast feed and see if there's a new one, and there always is.
Awesome.
All right,
those Dana Carvey ones were fucking hilarious, too.
I have those still saved in my podcast feed, but I haven't listened to them yet. My Monday morning go-to is Pajama Pants.
Right.
The Jamie Lee Sigler and...
That's a good show.
Robert... Yeah, I love it. Okay, you want mine?
He swears too much.
He
does. Every other word is F.
The new season of High Maintenance has started. It's 3 episodes in. I think it's really good so far. Episode 2 was amazing. Amazing with the intimacy coordinator.
Right.
So good. But Tim, this season, you should really watch this show.
Okay.
This season, there's a dog with one eye that he's the weed. It's a guy selling weed, you
like
know,
Izzy.
All over. Yes. And he's such a cute little dog, and he named him FOMO.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he drives around on his bike selling weed, and he carries FOMO in a little basket that rides behind him. It's very
Did he
cute.
Get rid of that RV? I love that RV.
Yeah, the RV finally broke down, I think. Something finally happened at the end of season three. All right, and then what I'm looking forward to coming up, other than Better Call Saul, also this Sunday, The Walking Dead is back. You know I'm going to get in and talk about The Walking Dead.
Yawn!
No, they're doing, I think they're going to do the Whisperer War.
Oh,
honestly, I think they're going to do it better than the comics.
Okay.
I really do.
Whisperer's been on for like 2 years.
Okay. You know, I'm really up against it. But The Walking Dead is super good, better than it's ever been.
I bet.
And then lastly,
Michonne's going to go out.
Yeah, she is.
When's Rick coming back?
Rick, they're going to do the movies with Rick, so I'm excited for that.
Coral, you fucker.
Coming up in what, about a week, I think, on AMC, new AMC show called Dispatches from Elsewhere. Have you all seen the trailers for that?
I've heard of it. I can't think what it is.
Yeah,
oh,
and
yeah,
Sally
yeah.
Field yeah. and several other recognizable people.
Yes.
And they are, I guess, caught up in this like virtual game called Elsewhere
right.
that they're kind of caught between whether it's kind of a reality bending maybe premise.
Right.
It looks really, really good. And
it looks super hard.
I think it's gonna fulfill maybe a little bit of the Lodge 49 or the Legion. It's gonna fill a little bit of the Legion loss.
Yeah, Devs coming out in a week.
Yeah,
too.
Devs
that looks
also.
Another big sci-fi show.
Cool.
All right.
Well, thank you guys.
Tell everybody
again all about the podcast, where they can find it, and all that.
Well, everybody who's subscribed to Radio Labyrinth, you should be finding Mike TV pretty readily.
Think this year maybe you're going to go to your own channel?
Do you want us to?
I'm asking
what do
you.
What you think, Tim?
It's $8.99 a month.
Well, we'll need to start a Patreon for that.
Yeah. Just
but,
curious. But
well,
if
I mean,
not,
I
you can keep
know.
It in
I mean,
the, you can keep it in our feed.
It's I'm good either way, but I feel like
I don't know
you
how
know,
people feel about that kind of thing.
I don't know either. Tell us on Twitter. You can email us miketvpodcast@gmail.com.
Jeff, what do you think?
I don't think it hurts anything. If they don't want to listen to it, they don't have to.
They
just delete
it. Right?
But please listen.
Oh, yeah.
We've come a long way, baby.
Yeah.
It's thorough as fuck.
Man. My God, there's never been
you
a
thorough you got a 3,000-mile car trip to go on?
Yeah.
Listen to Mike
But
TV.
You know what? Dean and I have had some great conversations.
You have. I agree with that.
Can I just say one thing? We listen to other TV podcasts as well.
Uh-huh.
And when we were covering Watchmen, we were real careful not to repeat things we'd heard on other podcasts, but we caught on to things that I'm very proud to say that other podcasts were not catching.
Yeah.
So that's
are
our
keep pitching?
It thorough promise. No, we caught on to things early, like, you know, the weirdness with Cal,
mm-hmm.
you know, anyway. We dig deep. We dig deep, deeper than most.
I bet.
So
you dig deep. You dig so deep, you come out in China and you fucking have the
coronavirus.
If you'd like thorough conversation,
thorough.
But yeah, you can also find us on Twitter at MikeTV1,
mm-hmm.
Which is Lisa's handle that she tweets at mostly. You can find me at Rockdale_Tiger.
Okay.
You can find him making fun of us.
Yeah, for TV stuff, for me harassing Tim. Me and Tim usually argue on there.
And arguing with, or I don't know what we're doing, but going back and forth.
Somehow interacting with Lisa's husband.
Yeah. All right, guys, thank you again. Follow Radio Labyrinth. We are on Twitter, @radio_labyrinth. Instagram, @radiolabyrinth. On the Facebook, it's facebook.com. Wow, Radio Labyrinth. We also have the Radio Shack, which is run by Dustin Lawler. And you can go there. It's probably a little more interactive and fun than the Radio Labyrinth Facebook page.
A lot of memes posted in there.
Yeah, a lot of memes. I want to figure out how to do watch parties so we can all sit around and shoot the shit.
Yeah, Dustin Lawler was doing that for a while.
I want to do it on ours, though. I want to.
These guys stop doing it like Saturday at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
How do you do them? Do you guys know? We got to figure that out.
Yeah,
if you know how to do
it, exactly sure
let us
it.
Know. Radio Labyrinth, if you want to become a patron of Radio Labyrinth, go to patreon.com/TimAndrews. We are doing bonus shows every week. Steph not being here this week hampers us doing a brand new bonus show, but you can find from my archives one of my Geeking Out with Tim interviews with a famous person from the Regular Guys days. Just me one-on-one with that person. And it's the original recording, so I won't be giving credit to anybody for the ratings. That means there's no encoding in it. But you don't know those secrets about the radio biz.
I guess I don't.
So that'll be up, and I'll tweet out what it is. I haven't figured out. It's going to be either be Marilyn Ricegoob or someone else.
Yeah, cool.
So, oh, no, you know who it's going to be? Because of the weird Battlestar Galactica, Trisha Helfer. Mm. So I'm doing it. So if you, it's an old interview, and it'll be on there. And the way you can get these is to sign up for Radio Labyrinth patronage at patreon.com/Tim Andrews. The $10 and above level, you will get that every week a bonus show.
We're talking to the Wilder Ride guides, hopefully, next week.
Yes, next Sunday they will be on. We'll record the show that day. Stephanie will return. So if you have an idea and you're a patron and you want to give us ideas for bonus shows, you have that opportunity to send us a message on the Patreon page. Coming up the first week in March, we have Waco and Roger Black. Waco, of course, and Roger Black doing Paradise PD Season 2 on Netflix. Roger Black is Yucko the Clown.
Mm-hmm. And that Paradise PD is hilarious on Netflix.
Right. And then the show they did before that, Brickleberry, was also very, very funny. Guys, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
You. Thank you. Enjoyed it.
You're very welcome. And until next week, remember to...
Keep it canon and thorough.
Where's Loganville?